Hallelujah. Praise God. Have you ever had anybody come to you and say to you, I've got good news and I've got bad news. What would you like to hear first? I always ask for the bad news first. I'll tell you why, because after you've heard the bad news, you're hoping the good news will cancel out the bad news. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. Let me read it to you from the Message translation here. There was once a rich man, expensively dressed in the latest fashions, wasting his days in conspicuous consumption. And a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, had been dumped on his doorstep. And all he lived for was to get a meal from scraps off the rich man's table. His best friends were the dogs who came and licked his sores. That's pretty radical, isn't it? His best friends were the dogs who came and licked his sores. Then he died, this poor man, and was taken up by the angels to the lap of Abraham. And the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell and in torment he looked up and saw Abraham in the distance and Lazarus in his lap. And he called out, Father Abraham, mercy, have mercy. Send Lazarus to dip his finger in water to cool my tongue. I'm in agony in this fire. But Abraham said, Child, remember that in your lifetime you got the good things and Lazarus the bad things. It's not like that here. Here he's consoled and you're tormented. Besides, in all these matters, there is a huge chasm set between us so that no one can go from us to you, even if he wanted to, nor can anyone cross over from you to us. The rich man said, Then let me ask you, Father, send him to the house of my father, where I have five brothers, so he can tell them the score and warn them so they won't end up here in this place of torment. Abraham answered, They have Moses and the prophets to tell them the score. Let them listen to them. I know, Father Abraham, he said, but they're not listening. If someone came back to them from the dead, they would change their ways. Abraham replied, If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they're not going to be convinced by someone who rises from the dead. What happens in this story that Jesus tells us? The rich man dies and wakes up in hell. Lazarus dies and finds himself transported into the glory. Hallelujah. See, the bad news, folks, tonight is that hell is a real place. This is Gospel Express, remember? It's like your food fast. Try and give you as fast as we can. Glory to God. Try to talk a bit slower. The bad news is that hell is a real place. The good news is that God doesn't want us to go there. The good news is that God never wanted anybody to go there. Scripture tells us very clearly, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not wake up in hell like this rich man, but should have everlasting life, should be transported at the point of death into the glory of God. Hallelujah. That's the good news. God never wanted anyone to go there. Scripture says it's not God's will that any perish, but that all come to repentance. What does that do to your Calvinism? Hope it demolishes it. Come on. Hallelujah. We see, we need to get these things demolished on us, because whether we know it or not, it's knit in there in the fabric of our being because we were born and grew up in Scotland. Come on. Everything associated with church was generally gloom and doom. That's why we need to come to the place of exchange and lay down the doom and the gloom and pick up the joy of the Lord. Amen. That is our strength. The bad news is hell is a real place. The good news is that God doesn't want anyone to go there. In fact, Scripture says very clearly that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I've heard people say over the years, you know, that Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. I don't actually think that's accurate. But if Jesus did speak a lot about hell, and he did speak about it, it wasn't to torment us with the prospect of going there. The reason he spoke about it was because he didn't want us to go there. He didn't want any of us to end up there. He didn't want us to end up like this rich man who just moseyed along through life, thinking everything was wonderful, having the best of everything, but not considering his relationship with God, not considering his eternal destiny. If Jesus spoke about hell, it wasn't so that he could torment us with the prospect that some of us might end up there whether we liked it or not. And some of us grew up with that kind of stuff. There's people all over this island who think that they might just end up in hell and they don't have anything to do with it. even though they would like to go to heaven, they think that really their ticket's already marked with hell, so there's not a lot they can do about it. And I don't know what that does for you, but that stirs me up. Amen. I've also heard people say over the years that sinners need to get a vision of hell. But Jesus told us to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Come on. Jesus told us to go out. In fact, Jesus said if they won't hear the good news, then even if someone comes and tells them the bad news, they won't believe it. But it's the good news. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. And what I truly believe is that it's not sinners who need a vision of hell, but us. It's us that need the vision of hell, because if we were to just get clear in our minds just how awful hell is, then we might become more motivated to preach this good news, to reach out to people with this gospel of the kingdom. Just like Reinhard Bonnke says, plundering hell to populate heaven. Isn't it not about time that all those hellbound sinners in Lewis were plundered and turned into the population of heaven? Amen. All the enemy's plans for their lives were turned around. Glory to God. So I just want to very quickly just remind us about the reality of hell. And I want to use hell as an acronym. You all know what an acronym is, don't you? If you don't, you'll know when we're finished. And I believe that let's just allow this to get settled within us. Let it to be established in us. So for the H of hell, hell, H stands for horror. We need to understand that hell is a place of horror. There's never been a horror film produced that has become anywhere close to depicting or presenting the truth of hell's horror. It's like living in the worst nightmare imaginable, and worse again than that. Everything that Hollywood has attempted to recreate, even with all of the fancy special effects that they have these days, is in hell, and yet there's more. It's a place of utter darkness. It's a place of separation from everything that is good. H stands for horror. Hell is a place of horror. I don't know about you, but come on, it's like we need to get some of this down on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Why? Because it will motivate us. Just like Rosalind, she was troubled because her brother isn't saved. So they pray, and God answers the prayer. Sounds like he was just waiting for someone to ask. He didn't say no. Come on. Somehow or other, he got a hold of Daniel by the ears and come on, and said, Daniel, it's not about time you showed up in church again. And he obviously said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Amen. Hallelujah. H is for horror. E is for excruciating. Excruciating is defined as agonizing or very intense. We need to understand that the agonies described in the Bible which are experienced in hell are of an extreme nature. Hell is a place of torment, a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The Reverend Ian Paisley was preaching one time on the streets of Belfast in the open air, and he was giving it big licks about that place of wailing, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and some fellow in the crowd said, what happens if you don't have any teeth? He said, teeth will be provided. So even if you don't have any teeth, even if you end up in hell with no teeth, teeth will be provided. Why? Because the scripture says there'll be gnashing of teeth. It won't be the grinding of gums. We need to get a grip on this, folks. It's excruciating. It's agonizing. It's intense, and there's no break. Can't go off and make a cup of tea in the middle of it and then come back again and start again. H is for horror. E is for excruciating. The world don't need to hear this. The world need to hear the good news, but we need to get this down the inside of us so we're motivated to get out there with the good news. Most of them think they're living in hell already. They think it probably couldn't get any worse. Now we know it can, and we need to understand it can get a lot worse. E is for excruciating. L, first L. It's amazing that hell's got a double L in it. if you think that God's got more than enough, the devil thinks he's got more than enough as well. L is for lostness. You need to understand, hell is a place of lostness. It's a place from which there is no escape. There is no way out. There is no exit. The person who ends up in hell is there fully aware that they are lost. But not only fully aware that they are lost, but that they are lost forever. They know that they're in the wrong place. And yet they know also there's no escape, that there's no way back. There's no way out. Isn't that, can you imagine what that's like? You need to get a grip on that, because people are going to hell every day from these islands. People sometimes that we've interacted with and yet failed to be motivated by enough love and compassion to reach out to them. Not with, you better watch out, you're wicked sinner, you may end up in hell. No, but with the good news. With the good news. God designed good news to reach people. The church turned that around and started trying to reach them with bad news. But it's good news. God's always got good news for you. The gospel is always good news. Jesus turned everything around so that the gospel is always good news. He turned all of the negatives into positives. He cut through our horizontal plane at the cross, and he turned that negative, because we were just wandering along through life, just waiting to fall off the end into this awful place. But he cut through that, and he turned that negative into a positive. Hallelujah. And it becomes a positive at the point where the vertical intersects the horizontal, at the place where you meet with him or you have an encounter with him. All of your negatives become positives. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, and I'm trading them in for the joy of the Lord. What a deal. Imagine taking all your scrap down to some shop somewhere and putting it on the counter, and all of a sudden they say, oh, wonderful, just what we've been looking for. Into the till and bring out a few £1,000 and give it to you and say, thank you very much. Any more where that came from? I don't know many places of exchange like that in this world. But God's organized a place of exchange like that. Amen. H is for horror. E is for excruciating, agonizing. L is for lostness. And the second L, seals it. It lasts forever. Hell lasts forever. So we can't really grip that. We can't. Our carnal mind, our natural mind struggles to get a hold of that concept. But it lasts forever. And we live in the microwave generation, don't we? Come on, everything. We want everything really quick. We want everything to change all the time. We have to have something new, everything. You know, you buy one of these gadgets, gizmos, and it's cutting edge, and the next day it's old hat. And we don't, and people, even before they get married now, sign the prenuptial agreement because they don't expect it to last. You buy a washing machine or a tumble dryer, and they say you want to take out the extra guarantee after 5 years, because what they're telling you is after 5 years it's good for nothing, so you better have an extra guarantee. Nothing in this world lasts, but hell lasts forever. Forever is a long time. Hell is for eternity, and there is no reprieve. There is no annihilation. There is no end. There's no end to the horror. There's no end to the excruciating pain. There's no end to the agony and the torment. There's no end to the sense of lostness. It never ends. They all last forever in a place where the fire never goes out. In a place that Scripture tells us where the worm does not die, where worms eat on flesh. And it's almost like the flesh just keeps, I don't know, becomes refreshed again, and they come and they keep eating on it. But the good news is, that's all the bad news. Amen. Horror, excruciating agony, lostness, lasts forever. That's the bad news. But the good news is that we don't have to go there, and that nobody has to go there. Scripture tells us very clearly that hell itself was not even created by God for men. He never intended any man or woman to end up there. It was created for the devil and his angels. So let's grab a hold of the good news, because we need to, anybody getting in stern on them, just feeling a little bit of motivation, we need to get out there and maybe bring some good news to people. Otherwise, they're just going to continue along there. They need to have an encounter with the living God. And I'll tell you, we are it. Amen. We need to start getting in people's faces, not with finger pointing and wagging and condemnation, but with good news. Amen. You know, we can come in under them. We're not supposed to come in over them. We're supposed to come in under them. Amen. We're supposed to come and say, I'm here to support you. I'm here to help you. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to criticize you. I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to tell you everything that's wrong with your life. I'm here to help you. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. Let me read it again from the Message. Don't let this throw you, Jesus said. You trust God, don't you? Well, trust me. There's plenty of room for you in my Father's home. If that weren't so, would I have told you that I'm on my way to get a room ready for you? If that weren't so, if there was no room for you there. And if I'm on my way to get your room ready, I'll come back and get you so you can live where I live. That's God's heart for people. Not just for us in this room tonight, but that's God's heart for all these people out there right now who have no idea that there is a God, never mind that they're on his heart. That's his will. That's his declared will in his word. They need to hear that good news. I've said it many times. We've been given a ministry and a word of reconciliation. What's that? Well, you run out and tell people, hey, you're already reconciled to God. All you have to do is say yes, and I'll seal it. You're already reconciled. It's not a case of getting reconciled. As far as God's concerned, you've already been reconciled. If you'll just come home, you'll discover that. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 34, it says that when he finally arrives, blazing in beauty and all his angels with him, the Son of Man will take his place on his glorious throne. Then all the nations will be arranged before him, and he will sort the people out, such much as a shepherd sorts out, you know what I'm saying? He doesn't short them out, he sorts them out. But he sorts out the sheep and he sorts out the sheep. No, he sorts out the sheep and the goats, putting sheep to his right and goats to his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, hey, we need to make sure that everybody's on the right. And he'll say, enter you who are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you in this kingdom that's been ready for you since the world's foundation. That's God's heart. That's God's plan. He never intended anybody ever to end up in that other place. He intended always for them all to end up with him in the place where he had prepared for them from before the world's foundation, before Adam sinned, before he fell, before he blew it. Amen. Is that good news or good news? Come on, at least one person smelled in the front row. Hallelujah. Good to have you back, Rosalind. Keep up. Don't let stormy get to you. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. No one's ever seen or heard anything like this. Never so much as imagined anything quite like it. What God has arranged for those who love him. But you've seen and heard it because God, by his Spirit, has brought it all out into the open before you. He's revealed it to us. Isn't that good? See, good news is for sharing, isn't it? Come on. Good news is for sharing. It's not for keeping to yourself. God has shown us all these things. We're supposed to be running around telling everybody. Like I say, you need some wisdom. You need the direction of the Holy Spirit as to how you communicate that, how you get alongside people, how you bring it to them. You don't bring it in King James English very often because people just look at it as if you arrived from another planet and you have. Come on. Hallelujah. Is God good or is God good? It says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 in the New King James, it says this, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? But how will others escape if we neglect to tell them of this great salvation? It says in Romans chapter 10, how shall they hear without a preacher? It says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's heart, that the whosoever's come in. But he says, how shall they hear this good news without a preacher? We are the preachers. Come on. We're going to sing that in a few minutes. Hear, O earth, here come the preachers. We will go. We will stand. We will go into the land. Hallelujah. Amen. Why? Because we don't want to see another person lost in hell forever, for eternity. And in the Message translation, it translates Hebrews 2:3 this way. Do you think we can risk neglecting this latest message, this magnificent salvation? I don't think we should be taking that risk. Amen. I don't think we should be risking that even in our own families, with our friends, with our acquaintances, with our enemies, whoever they are. We need to bring them this good news. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not only for us. We have a responsibility to reach others with the good news that's able to cancel out the bad news, whether they've heard the bad news or not, whether they know the bad news or not. And around here, most people know the bad news. They've heard it all their lives. And they haven't been offered a lot of hope in regards to the bad news. And that's why we need to come in with the good news. And they're not always, people who are used to bad news aren't always ready to grab good news with both hands. You've discovered that, haven't you? I mean, that's what I say over and over again. I just can't understand how people want to argue against good news. How people, and like Jesus himself, marveled at those who were unable to receive the good news that he brought and the good things that he brought, healing and deliverance. But the choice is ours, folks. We can receive what God has prepared for us, or we can reject God's provision and find ourselves partaking in what God has prepared for those who hate him, a place never intended for men and women, a place created for the devil and his angels. But thank God we've made a decision. We don't want to go there. Anybody here this evening hasn't made that decision? Does anybody here this evening, you haven't made that decision? You haven't made that decision that you want to avoid that place of horror, that place of excruciating agony, that place of lostness, that place that lasts forever? Anybody here tonight that hasn't? Well, right now you need to make that decision. I don't want to go there. I don't have to go there. God's made a better option. God's heart was never for me to go there, and I don't want to end up there. That rich man, he didn't know he was going to hell. He just woke up there one day and discovered it was forever. There was no way out, no escape, no exit. Let me just give you a couple of statistics, and then we'll be done. There are nearly 3 billion people. That's almost half the world, or probably more than almost half the world's population, who have never even heard this good news once, not even one time. 80,000, that's 80,000. Come on, that's like that's over 4 times the population of the Isle of Lewis. 80,000 people die in Asia every day having never heard this good news. 80,000 people every day who have never heard this good news. Not even once. Do you think maybe, well, we've not been doing very well about getting this gospel out, this good news? 500,000 villages, 500,000 villages of who knows how many people in India alone, in one country alone. We know it's a big country. But 500,000 villages in India alone have no gospel witness, no one in there who is bringing good news to people. That's just a few random statistics, but they're real statistics. Every one of these numbers, see, God doesn't look at 3 billion and go, oh, isn't that a shame? As far as God's concerned, that's 3 billion individual people. That's a lot of zeros on the end of that three. But he doesn't see zeros. He doesn't see nothings, because he had a plan for every single one of them to be somebody. To us, they're nobodies. They're just part of the 3 billion. Do you understand? Do you know what I'm saying? But not to, he doesn't see the nothings. He sees people that have slipped off into eternity as nothings, that he had plans for them to be something. And the only thing that hindered these plans was that those to whom this good news had been committed thought that they could keep it to themselves. Good news, though. Hallelujah. Amen. You ready tonight? Is this stirring you, entering you at all? Say, Lord, I need to make a fresh commitment to get out there with this good news, to share it with anybody. The Bible says just even in season and out of season. You don't have to even wait for the right season to plant this stuff. Amen. Glory to God. And some of the seed you sow, tragically, the devil will come straight away and steal it out of people's hearts. Other people will receive it with joy, jumping up and down, saying, "Oh, I'm so glad you shared that with me. I never heard anything like that in my life. I'm going to run with that." And then before you know it, they'll be off and they'll quit. Others will take a hold of it and they'll go on for a little while, and then all of the stuff of life will come in and just crowd it out and stifle the good seed of God's word, and the fruitfulness will begin to dry up. But there'll be others, hallelujah, who'll grab it and run with it and begin to produce fruit and become combine harvesters. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So then all our own responsibility is to make sure that as many people as possible get to hear not the bad news, but the good news that cancels out the bad news. Amen. Let's stand up together. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we recognize, Lord, the awesome responsibility that you've placed upon us. But we thank you, Lord, that you never give us responsibility, Lord, without giving us ability. And Lord, that you give us the ability to respond to what you speak to us and what you've given us to do, Lord. There's nothing that you've asked us to do that you've not made more than enough power available so that we can get it done. Lord, I thank you tonight, Lord, for your anointing. I thank you, Lord, that each person in here tonight that belongs to you, Lord, that as your child is anointed to make a difference. Lord, that they have your strength, your power, your ability, that we all have that working within us, not just within us, but upon us. Lord, that we can go into our workplaces. Lord, we can go into our communities. Lord, we can go back to school. We can go wherever we go. Lord, back even into our own homes and share with those in our own families, Lord. Lord, who are on course for that place, Lord God, that nobody ever wants to end up in. And we can reach out to them with this good news. Hallelujah. So, Lord, I pray you just stir our hearts afresh to be carriers of good news. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Excited? Glory to God. We should be.